بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. This is in continuation with the discussions on the Sunnah and its preservation. And the topic of this talk on the night of the 16th of the month of Muharram, 1426 after the Hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is entitled The Authoritative Validity of the Sunnah. The Sunnah is considered part of the revelation, as discussed in a previous talk, and that it is preserved by Allah. This necessitates three matters. Number one, believing in it. Second, following it. Thirdly, using it as textual proof and evidence. I would repeat, believing in it, following it, and using it as textual proof and evidence. All these three matters are found in the Quran and in the Sunnah itself, and they are affirmed by the consensus of the scholars from the righteous predecessors, and also by sound reasoning. The evidence from the Quran for the authoritative validity of the Sunnah. First, Allah's ordainment that obedience to His Messenger is an obedience to Him. He, the Most Exalted, said, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. He who obeys the Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has indeed obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, then we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a watcher over them. This is in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 8. مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High, linked the obedience to His messengers, or to His messenger, linked it to His, to Allah's obedience. This is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 59. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. O who you believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those of you Muslims who are in authority. And those of you Muslims who are in authority, meaning to be obeyed. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, quote, Allah the Exalted ordered that He and His Messenger be obeyed. He repeated the command, وَأَطِيعُوا, and obey, to inform that obedience to the Messenger is independently obligated. Listen to this. Is independently obligated without referring the commanded matter to the book, meaning to the Quran. Rather, if he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands, then his obedience is absolutely incumbent, whether that which he commands is found in the book or not, for he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the book and something similar to it. End of Imam Ibn Qayyim's comment. And this is in his book, I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also singled out the obedience to the messenger. In another place in the Quran, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he, Allah the Most High subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. In Surah Al-Hashr 59 verse 7, and whatsoever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it, and fear Allah, verily Allah is severe in punishment. In connection with this verse, listen to the understanding of the companions of this verse and compare it with the understanding, or rather the deviation, of some in our times who negate the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In connection with this verse, a woman came to Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, and told him, look what she told him. She told him, you who says, may Allah's curse be on those ladies who practice tattooing, and those who get themselves tattooed, and those who remove the hair from their faces, and those who make artificial spaces between their teeth to look more beautiful, whereby they change Allah's creation. Is it you who are making this curse, that you are saying that this is the curse of Allah on these people? He said, yes. She said, I read the book of Allah from its beginning to its end. I didn't find what you have said. He told her, if you have read it, you would have found it. As for your reading the saying of Allah, the Most Beneficent, and he recited the verse, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, and whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it. She said, certainly. He said, I have heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, may Allah's curse be on those ladies who do these things, meaning who tattoo, etc., etc. You see how the understanding clearly. Secondly, Allah's warning not to oppose His Messenger. Allah's warning not to oppose His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah the Most High said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَمْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. In Surah An-Nur 24:62, Allah the Most High said, and let those who oppose the messenger's commandment, his sunnah, legal ways, orders, acts of worship, statements, etc., among the sects, let them beware lest some fitna, affliction, befall them, or a painful torment be inflicted on them. The term fitna refers to disbelief, afflictions, earthquakes, killing, overpowered by a tyrant, etc. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, it means, look at this, it means the fitna sealing the hearts on the terrible consequences of opposing the messenger. We seek refuge in Allah from this. Sealing the hearts on the terrible consequences of opposing the messenger. He explained the term fitna in the verse. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ. Sorry, this would be 24:63. Let those who oppose the messenger's commandment beware, lest some fitna befall them. for or a painful torment be inflicted on them. So this is a very serious matter, opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you have heard the meaning of the fitna. It could mean trials, disbelief. Meaning opposing the Messenger could lead to shirk and can bring forth painful torments, earthquakes, killings in this life, or overpowered by a tyrant. Or as Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, and his father said, sealing the hearts on the terrible consequences of opposing the Messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then verily for him is the fire of hell. He shall dwell therein forever. He shall dwell then therein forever. And this is in 72:23. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa 4:115, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. And whoever contradicts and opposes the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the right path has been shown clearly to him and follows other than the believer's way, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. And burn him in hell. And what an evil destination. Thirdly, the obedience of the Messenger is from the requirements of belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection, has established that the obedience of the Messenger is an integral part of faith, and that his opposition is a sign of hypocrisy. He subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ in Surah An-Nisa 4:65. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. But know by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance whatsoever against your decisions, and accept them with full submission. Accept them with full submission. It's a must, therefore, that believers wholeheartedly accept the Prophet's rulings without having any kind of hesitation or any resistance to that. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Ahzab 33:36. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not for a believer, man or a woman, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed strayed in a plain error. We seek refuge in that. We seek refuge in Allah from that. So the believer has no choice. The believer has no choice but to submit to Allah's command, to obey the Messenger. And this is a condition for the validity and correctness of faith. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur 24:47. وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ وَأَطَعْنَا ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They, the hypocrites, say, we have believed in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we obey. Then a party of them turn away thereafter. Such are not believers. Now contemplate about the following verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the One free of all imperfection, says in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 62, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَى أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. The true believers are only those who believe in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they are with Him on some common matter, they go not away until they have asked His permission. Verily, those who ask for permission, those are they who really believe in Allah and His Messenger. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, commented on this by saying, quote, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has necessitated that it is part of faith that if they are on some matter with him, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they go not away until they have asked his permission, then by all means it is more obligated as part of faith that they don't adhere to any sayings of madhabs, way of thought, until they have asked his permission. In this respect, his permission lies in the evidences he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought forth concerning the matters of deen, indicating that he has authorized it or authorized them, the evidences. End of quote. Secondly, evidence from the sunnah that itself is valid authority and proof. Evidence from the sunnah that itself is a valid authority and proof. The hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others, when the Prophet ﷺ was reported to have said, لا ألفين أحدكم متكئا على أريكته يأتيه أمر مما أمرت به أو نهيت عنه فيقول لا أدري ما وجدنا في كتاب الله اتبعناه وإلا فلا. This is reported by Ahmad, رواه أحمد والترمذي وصححه وابن ماجة والطحاوي وغيرهم بإسناد صحيح, كما بين ذلك الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله في كتابه الممتع الحديث حجة بنفسه في العقائد والأحكام. In this hadith, none of you reclines on his bed. The order comes to him on a matter which I commanded to do or not to do. Then he says, I don't know. What is found in the book of Allah, we follow it. Meaning otherwise not. This is reported by Ahmad al-Tirmidhi, who authenticated it, Ibn Majah, Al-Tahawi and others, and it was also discussed in detail by Sheikh Al-Albani in his excellent book that entitled Al-Hadith is in itself evidence concerning rulings and creed, and he authenticated it in that book rahimahullah. Also in the other hadith, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ أَلَا يُوشِكُ رَجُلٌ شَبْعَانَ عَلَى أَرِيكَتِهِ يَقُولُ عليكم بهذا القرآن فما وجدتم فيه من حلال فأحلوه وما وجدتم فيه من حرام فحرموه وإنما حرم رسول الله كما حرم الله. According to another report, this report, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what is found in the book of Allah as halal permissible, then pronounce as halal, and what is found as haram forbidden, we pronounce it haram. Surely I have given the Quran and its example with it. This hadith was reported by Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, who authenticated it, and Ahmad and Al-Imam and Al-Shaykh Al-Albani authenticated it. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed in the same narration that what the Messenger of Allah has forbidden, Allah has prohibited it. And this is the point of evidence. وَإِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ كَمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. What the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden, Allah has prohibited it. Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi rahimahullah commented, it is certain that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning against the opposition to the sunan decreed by Allah's Messenger and which are not mentioned in the Quran, as adopted by the Khawarij, the dissidents, and by the Rafida, the rejectionists of the Shia, who adhered to the apparent of the Quran and abandoned the Sunan, which assured the explanation of the book, and so they were confused and went astray. This is the comment by Abu Sulaiman al-Khattabi rahimahullah on this hadith. In the hadith narrated by Al-Irbad bin Sariya, Salla bina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a yawm, one day the Messenger of Allah led us in prayer. ثم أقبل علينا فوعظنا موعظة بليغة. Then faced us and gave us a lengthy exhortation, or a lengthy exhortation, at which the eyes shed tears and the hearts were afraid. A man said, Messenger of Allah, it seems as if it was a farewell admonition. So, what injunction do you give us? He then said, I enjoin you to fear Allah and to hear and obey, even if it be an Abyssinian slave. For those of you who live after me will see great disagreement. You must then follow my sunnah and that of the rightly guided caliphs. Hold to it and stick fast to it. Avoid novelties, for every novelty is an innovation, and every innovation is an error. Additional proof is in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ during his farewell pilgrimage, Ya ayyuhan nas, inni qad taraktu fikum ما أن اعتصمتم به فلن تضلوا أبدا كتاب الله وسنتي. رواه مالك مرسلا, رواه الحاكم وصححه ووافقه الذهبي, ورواه البيهقي. I left you with two things. If you adhere to them, then you will never go astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah. The book of Allah and my sunnah. This is reported by Imam Malik as a mursal narration, and by Al-Hakim who authenticated it, and Al-Dhahabi agreed to that, also reported by Al-Bayhaqi. This hadith necessitates that the sunnah is staying as long as the book of Allah is, and thus preserved as long as the book is. Also in the hadith reported by Al-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, who said that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, نظر اللهم امرأ سمع منا شيئا فبلغه كما سمع فرب مبلغ أوعى من سامع. قال أبو عيسى الترمذي هذا حديث حسن صحيح, وعند أبي داود من رواية زيد بن ثابت قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول مضر الله امرئا سمع منا حديثا فحفظه حتى يبلغه فرب حامل فقه إلى من هو أفقه منه ورب حامل فقه ليس بفقيه. Abdullah bin Mas'ud reporting from his father that he heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, may Allah brighten a man who hears a tradition from us, gets it by heart and passes it on to others. At-Tirmidhi reported it and he said it is good and authentic. In another narration, many a bearer of knowledge conveys it to one who is more versed than he is. Bearer of knowledge is not versed in it. This is also reported by Abu Dawud, and he graded it authentic as well. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah commented, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded to listen to his traditions, memorize them, and to relate to a bearer who will in turn passes it to another, it indicates that what is to be passed on is something that will be a proof of evidence upon the one to whom it was passed to. Since whatever is to be related from him is nothing but halal, permissible, or a forbidden matter to be avoided, or a legal punishment to be established, or wealth to be given or taken, and an advice concerning the deen and the life of the world, the dunya. End of quote. All of these together are vivid and clear evidences for the validity of the sunnah. Inshallah, in the next talk we'll talk about the proofs of the ijma', the consensus on the authoritative validity of the sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a beneficial stay or a beneficial talk for myself and for everyone who is listening. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.